wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. So bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Sing it one more time.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. So bow down before him and love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
Our communion word today comes from St. John's Gospel 14. Please come back with me to that scripture for today. Love for Christ is a powerful emotion that influences our relationship to the Lord himself and our response to his commandments. He says to his disciples this night before he would go out and suffer death, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I really didn't know this until just recently, that the slogan of Outback Steakhouse is, "No rules, just right." Now, it seems sort of risky to be eaten in a place that has no rules. No rules of sanitation. No rules for quality control. No rules. Just fun, having a good time, doing as we like, laughing life up. Jesus is not a no rules person. If you want a religion without rules, you do not want to deal with Jesus. He gives rules for life. If you love me, keep my commandments. So, loving him is about the relationship with him. It's loving the person, if you love me. How are we supposed to take this? He may be saying to his disciples, "Well, since you claim to love me, keep my commandments," the if of sequence, you know. Or it may be suppose, the if of supposition. Suppose you love me. Let's say you claim that you love me. Suppose it is so. Either way, keep my commandments. Now, why is this important? It is important because we tend to see religion through different lenses. Some people see religion in terms of duty, what we do for the Lord. So we love to do things. We love to get our hands in religion and do things. But Jesus is saying, it isn't so much about your hands alone, it's also your heart. What do you have in your heart for me if you love me? Remember the word of St. Paul? Even though I give my body to be burnt and I don't have love, charity, I am nothing. Again, some of us see religion in terms of having the right belief. You know, maybe that's why some of you are Methodists, huh? Having the right belief, that's important. But Jesus isn't concerned so much with having the right belief in the head as having the right love in the heart, if you love me. For other people, religion is seen in terms of the ritual, you know, the order for the worship, how you handle this, how when we kneel, when we stand, when we sit, when we whatever, you got to do it right. The ritual must be done right. Reminds us of the word of the ancient prophet. The Lord said to him, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And so the Shema of ancient Israel was what? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, O God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength." And when Jesus was asked, "Master, which is the greatest commandment of all?" Remember what he said? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself." Loving is about a relationship with the Lord. If you love me. All relationships are sustained by love. The one we have to Jesus Christ is no different. If you are married to a person, it is love that sustains the relationship. Marriage, of course, has its place, but love sustains it too. A woman and her husband came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, we are going to get a divorce. We have just come here to get your approval." Now, I've done a multitude of weddings through the years. People have come back helping, dealing with things in their own lives, but no one has ever asked my permission to get a divorce before, or my approval. This is a little different. So I didn't have the opportunity, or never had the opportunity this pastor had. So the pastor looked at the husband and said to him, "The Bible says you should love your wife as Christ loved the church. Can you do that?" He said, "No, I can't do that." At least we had an honest man for a change, right, ladies? Honest guy. Then the pastor said, "Well, let us take it to the next level. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. Could you love her as your neighbor?" "No, pastor, not even if she moves next door could I love her as my neighbor. I didn't do this wedding, so don't get any ideas." So the pastor said, "Well, let us go to the next level. The Bible says, love your enemies. Begin there." Begin there. Relationships are about love. If you love me, keep my commandments. So the question today is, do we love him? Or did we just show up today? Do we love him? Talk to people who love, let us say, you know, the Tigers or the Pistons or whoever. They will go to game after game, although the team isn't doing that well, right? They'll hardly make it to the playoff, but they'll stand in line to buy tickets. Wouldn't they do that? And they'll pay good money for the ticket, right? And if you ask them, "Why do you do it all the time? They haven't won in so many years," what would that person tell you? "I love the game. I love the team." Did you have to get a ticket to come in here today? Anybody? Did you have to stand in line to get in church today? Anyone? Did you have a hard time finding a good seat? No. Yet in this church and in many churches across the land, there's so much space, so many people are not here today. Why? They claim they love the Lord, of course they claim. But something is missing in their hearts. The Urban Dictionary describes them as bedside Baptists. You know, people who find the bed so comfortable on Sunday mornings, they can't go to church. Mattress Methodist, any mattress Methodist, you know? Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to use your time differently. You'll use your money differently. You'll use your resources differently. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so it is about this relationship, the requirements of love. But it is also about the reverence of love, not just the requirements of love. For he says, if you love me, you will keep. The big word is the little word, my commandments. In other words, Jesus has commandments of his own. On the Mount of Transfiguration, remember? The three disciples are there, Moses and Elijah appear speaking to Jesus, and a voice came from heaven saying to them, this is my beloved son, he, not Moses, not Elijah, he is my beloved son. Listen to him. So Jesus says, keep my commandments. Moses cannot say that. Moses may say, keep God's commandments, right? Why? Moses is just a messenger of God. Jesus is Messiah and Master. Blessed be his name. Moses is a mere mortal. Jesus is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. Moses speaks for God. Jesus speaks as God. Jesus has the right to command, the right to demand. Do not compare the Lord Jesus and any other religious teacher. He is the Son of God. But here he does not dictate. He says, suppose you love me. Let's suppose if you love me, keep my commandments. To love me and keep my commandments is to bring yourself under my law. So we ask ourselves, what are his commandments? Can you think of any? Can you think of any? Well, maybe I should ask another question. Do you keep any of them? Here are a few. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay up treasures in heaven. Concerning the table, he said, do this in remembrance of me, as the choir sang. Love one another as I have loved you. The reverence of love. Reverence me. Observe my commandments. But there's another thing here. If you love me, keep my commandments, the requirements of love, and this relationship with him. We reverence him by keeping his commandments. But there is more. He wants us to observe them. The emphasis here is keeping them, regarding them, honoring them. Jesus doesn't say, once you love me, do whatever you want. He doesn't say, I want you to sign off on these commandments. He says to us, I want you to keep them. You show your allegiance to me, your obedience, your reverence. But you may say, keeping the commandments is a very hard thing. is very difficult. I can't keep up with them. So I ask you today, which commandments of the Lord you find hard to keep? Which ones you find difficult? I could tell you which ones I find difficult, but you wouldn't be interested. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Is that hard to do? We try another one, see if anybody will respond to that one. He says, do not steal. Is that a hard commandment to keep? Oh, good. Got somebody here. That's good. He says, honor your father and your mother. Is that a hard commandment to keep? He says, you shall not covet. I got that. He says, you shouldn't commit adultery. Is that hard to keep? Yes, yeah, we would say, the commandments are hard to keep, preacher. The commandments are hard to keep. Philip Brooks, a dynamic preacher of generations ago, after one service, a parishioner came up to him and said, Pastor, I'm making a trip to the Holy Land. When I get there, I'm going to climb Mount Sinai, and from Mount Sinai, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments. Sometimes I wish I was like, you know, some other preachers, including this one. Well, Philip Brooks said to him, I could think of something better that you could do. He said, really, Pastor? What is that? Philip Brooks said, justice. Rather than traveling thousands of miles to go to the Holy Land to read the Ten Commandments, you could stay right here and keep them. Yes, keeping the commandments is hard. The psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law, O Lord. Well, I tell you, friends, sometimes I don't agree with the psalmist. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if Jesus knows some neighbors I have had, he would give me an exception. Because I could think of two neighbors I've had in the past. Friends, love your neighbor. Yes, love your neighbor, but build a high fence. Love your neighbor, that is hard to do. What else? He says, keep. Keep my commandments, plural, all-inclusive. You and I do not have the option as to which commandment we will keep and which we would not keep. All my commandments. If you love me, the requirements of love, the reference of love. But finally, he talks here about the resources of love. Look at the text with me. He doesn't only tell them, keep my commandments. In verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, that is the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. And on my copy, I circle the word forever. Some more, verse 17. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Did you hear that? The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. But if you love me, you receive him. Why the world cannot receive him? Because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. Because the Holy Spirit, he abides with you and will be in you. When the scripture was read, we heard what? This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will be with you and in you. Amen. We continue, verse 18. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. Verse 21, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me.
And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Verse 23, Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. We will live with them. Verse 24 sums it up, doesn't it? Whoever does not love me does not keep my words.
He's very blunt.
And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who has sent me. If you love me, if you love me, the Father and I would come into your life and empower you to keep my commandments. In the movie Fiddler on the Roof, you remember possibly the man asking his wife, do you love me? And what is her response? She reminds him of everything she does for him. I cook your food. I sew your clothes. I clean the house. I bear your children. I raise your children. I do the washing, etc. He wants to know more. What's in your heart, woman? What's in your heart for me? Do you love me? And so before Jesus would go off to die on the cross the next day, he talks to these men who must go and teach his commandments. And he tells them, it isn't enough that you teach my commandments. You have to keep my commandments. Consider what I am going to do for you in dying on the cross. I do it because of my great love for you. Do you love me? If you love me, keep my commandments. A budding artist once brought his painting of the Lord's Supper, and he showed it to Tolstoy, great Russian master of words. And Tolstoy looked at the canvas and he studied it intently. And then, pointing to the figure of Christ in the painting, he said to the artist, you don't love him. The man said, oh, but that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course I love him. And Tolstoy said, no. You don't love him. If you love him, you would paint him better. It is like that, isn't it? If you love me, Jesus is saying to them, you'll do a better job keeping my commandments. Love one another. As I have loved you, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. We sing the song, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Number 172.
Redeemer, my Savior.
The order for the Lord's Supper is found in our worship brochure.
Would you please stand?
A service of word and table. Christ, O Lord, invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, O Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Our Father, we give you our thanks and praise for your everlasting love. Surely you created us in your own image and likeness, and you love us eternally. Your compassion, your mercy, your loving kindnesses have followed your people all through their journeys. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of far and wide. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of far and wide. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Gathered with your disciples the night before you went out to suffer death on the cross, you took bread, you blessed it, you gave it to them, saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. And likewise, taking the cup and offering it to God in thanksgiving, you said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we would be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, and by your Spirit, make us one. One with each other and one in ministry to all of the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly table. through your Son Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let us be seated. Now we pray to the Lord. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. It was the night before Jesus went out, went to the cross. He asked these disciples, "Do you love me? If you love me, this is how you show it. Keep my commandments." And so today we are gathered around his table, and the Lord is present now. Do you sense his presence? Do you feel his nearness? Is he touching you? Is he speaking to you? He died for you on the cross. That's how he showed his love. How would you show your love for him? What would you do for him? What do you have in your heart for the Lord? If you love me, is there a question about it? Can you truly say, "Lord Jesus, I love you. My Jesus, I love thee." So Lord, we come now. Clean our hearts of anything that's not love for you. Purify your heart so that we would love you truly and deeply. Touch us through and through now. Forgive us of all our sins and clean us from all unrighteousness. Come near to God and God will come near to you. And Lord, touch us all in our souls now. Touch us in our bodies and heal us. Remember our loved ones, our friends, those who are not doing well. Our country in its troubles, our nations with their turmoil. Have mercy upon us. And bring us all to the cross to love this one who died for us and in whose name we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you.